Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
You ready?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. No, Jose, who's been listening to the show forever, asked, have we touched on the Daniela and Carlos Correa video?
Send it to Dell so we can all hear it.
Have you seen this thing? Oh, it's cringe. You can't.
No, send it to Dell. I want to hear it.
No, it's cringeworthy, dude.
Why? It's not ugly.
No.
She just said this is their love story. It's how they met.
It's...
And Carlos is sitting there almost like it's a hostage video where he can't talk.
And they disagree on whether it was a Wednesday or you can't watch it. It's too cringeworthy. Carlos.
Don't tell him.
I'm not telling him anything. It's, let's say, we got people that want
to. You think someone, when she decided to, I don't know how long her YouTube channel, because I'm looking at the video right now, her YouTube channel was, created. Do you think Carlos is like, damn it. No. I'm going to have to be in these videos. I'm going to have to make appearances. Damn it, I just want to play baseball.
He has to tell her that. He has to say, look, you can't quit. You got to quit punking me out.
No.
I'm trying to get my juice back. I'm trying to get my mojo back.
And it seems like, there's some eyes rolling, and it's just.
Carlos is like, you know what? Since I made that proposal, it's been all downhill for my career.
Hey, let's get, I don't know if that's a female.
What?
Is this Lindsay? Lindsay's female, right?
I don't know.
Dennis Lindsay's not a female.
No, but he's
Lindsay
not
Lindsay Hunter's
us.
Not a female.
No, that's true. Let's get Lindsay in here, and we'll see. Either way, let's talk Tom Izzo. What's going on, Lindsay?
All right, thanks, Dale. Lindsay Hunter is not a female, and neither am I.
Thank you, guys.
I wanted to revisit the Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
Conversation. Mm-hmm. Lance, I don't know if you saw the video of it, and it's not necessarily so much that he was getting in somebody's kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to other people's, and I've had mine gotten into as well. So I'm not adverse to, let's say some strong words and thoughts, but it's more the aggressiveness of which he did it. It's almost like he was trying to step up to the player, much like, if somebody's talking smack to you and you try to step up to him or you're bowing up to him, that aggressiveness, that doesn't fly.
Okay, hold on.
Hold on.
Lindsay, did you hear what the player said to him?
Wait.
So
Are we talking about words? He didn't touch the kid.
How many blows did he land on the kid again?
He didn't touch the kid.
You're talking about an action. It is what was said between the two. Passing a judgment on Izzo, what was said?
And here's the deal. Izzo is laying into him, and the kid is shooting back. And Izzo's like, oh, this ain't happening. Now, Izzo didn't lay a hand on him. Izzo stood up, the players got in between, and all that stuff happened. But where was there any kind of a physical altercation?
Hold on. I never said there was a physical altercation. But if you listen to the words that I'm saying, the way he stepped to him is much like you see right before a fight starts, right?
So you think he was getting ready to fight him? So you,
Hold on. You just said that the other players had to get in front, in between them.
They did.
Why do you think I didn't say that.
No. If we're going to be literal, I didn't say they had to. I never said they had to. I said they did.
Then why do you think they needed to?
I didn't say they needed to. They felt like, okay.
Because the coach was angry
because,
at the player.
Because the coach was very angry, standing up and yelling at the
because
kid.
Because the player was shooting back at him.
And the kid was shooting. Did you see the players also put their hand up in front of the player's face and say, shut up? Did you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I get it. And I have no problem with somebody getting into somebody's kitchen. But if you step to me, or if I see someone step to somebody else, there's other intentions that go across people's
you
minds,
thought,
and that's
okay,
exactly
okay.
why the players got in front.
Okay, I want to talk. So what were Tom Izzo's intentions? Where is it to fight the kid?
Well, who knows?
You don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can't tell me from watching that video you weren't like, what the hell is he doing stepping up to the kid like that?
No,
I didn't say that. No, I know. No,
no.
You thought that, but no, I didn't think that.
Lindsay, no, we didn't think. I think he was pissed off and the kid shot back at him and talked back to him, which is, I know it's normal right now for your age group to talk back to the coaches and think you could, and then you say, you're stepping to me. And then if anyone touches me or talks to me, or I get that. I understand that that's where it's gone. It doesn't make it right.
No.
And Tom, to say he's stepping to him like he's going to, I don't know, maybe he was going to fight him. Come on, dude. Making the leap to there's a physical confrontation coming, that's the leap that you can't just make an assumptive leap. You just can't.
I don't know what the player said. Maybe he just disagreed with it. I don't know if he was disrespectful in his response. Who knows? Maybe
Set him off. And Tom Izzo, we've seen him for several decades, Coach.
I get what you're saying. We're making an assumption that it was a disrespectful act by the player. The player might have just simply said, I really don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. We don't know what
we have no idea what he said.
So I'm not going to make
it
an assumption.
It got worse, though.
Yeah, it did get worse.
It got worse
generally,
later.
Well, generally, growing up.
And his teammates told him to shut up.
Yeah, because it was escalating. So everyone just be quiet because the coach ain't going to back down. So you might as well. But that always happens. Hey, back down because the coach ain't going to back down. So let's just move on. So that's how it is.
The coach isn't supposed to back
down. I know.
Okay,
I'm just
saying. I'm sorry.
I know what you're saying. Usually a teammate will say, hey, man, just be quiet because this ain't going to go. It's not going to go well for you. So stop talking. Let the coach say what he's got to say and let's keep it moving. I'm not of the opinion that Tom Izzo was going to fight him. It was an aggressive posture. I didn't think he was going to turn to blows. But so I'm not going to side with Lindsay completely. It was aggressive, but hey, I wasn't triggered by it. That's what coach, we see that sometimes.
Right.
Well, no. And oh, by the way, especially in that, there's a matter of respect. Tom Izzo, the coach, a Hall of Fame coach who has won, a freshman who's talking back to him in the middle of a game. There is a respect there that he broke. That kid broke.
And if you don't like it, sorry. No, we're not playing new rules where, like, we don't have to respect you anymore. You've got to earn our respect. No, that's not the rules. That's not the rules. I've never seen such a fundamental lack of respect for general authority in my life with you. And this is coming from – I'm talking to guys about this with Reggie Wayne, Willie McGinnis, Bucky Brooks. These are guys who are coaching young guys and 7-on-7, Elite 11 and all that stuff. And they're like, dude, it is totally – different now with the way these kids come at you. He said, it's unbelievable. I don't know if it's their family backgrounds, their personal history. He said, I can't believe the stuff. Like, I can't believe the stuff that I hear kids. My brother says that coaching, you know, he's been coaching for several years. He goes, man, it is bananas how kids try to come at you now and talk to you. There's a fundamental lack. My kids will do it to Mike. I have to try to train my kids. I'm like, you guys have to understand when to shut up. Mm-hmm. You cannot be chronic talk where you try to get the last word or talk back. I mean, I'm talking about Drake was pretty good about knowing when he was in trouble, shut up, deal with it, take the yelling or whatever, and then just, and then it moves on. My 8-year-old, my daughter can't, like, Madi, you have to learn. Mason, can y'all learn timing, please, of when to say something and when not to? Why would you, and I'll tell them, when Larry Zerline, when Grandpa was getting after me, you know what I did? I shut up because I wanted it to be over with, and I listened, and I didn't say anything back. So when you say stuff back to your mom or to me, all you're doing is you're just going to make it
worse. And that's exactly what happened here.
Before we go, we got people want to talk about it. I don't know what was said back and forth, so like I said, I don't want to crush the kid because who knows. But I do get your point about sometimes diffuse it, stop talking. Maybe you're not even you might be disagreeing.
Yeah.
Just listen, and even if the coach is dead wrong, not that Izzo was in this case, but even if he's dead wrong, just move past it because you know it ain't gonna. You're not gonna win this,
yeah. Right?
Right.
Can a coach be wrong in that situation?
Yeah, of course. They can.
Okay, can we get off Lindsay now? At the Twitter, and I'm getting texts, Rick. That has nothing to do with his name.
What's his? Let's get.
No, we got to take a break. 814 ESPN. We'll do it on the other side. 713-780-3776 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Texas Custom Patios.
I'll tell you about Texas Custom Patios. So Steven Shell, who I used to play basketball against him, I remember at the Y. I remember back in the day when he used to work at the Y, when I saw him, I saw him at Texas Custom Patios, I'm like, man, I recognize this guy. And sure enough, we used to play pickup basketball against each other. Steven, to this day, big sports fan, big basketball player. He messed up his knee and had it worked on. And we'll talk sports all the time. But, you know, one of the reasons I really like Steven is because he's no nonsense. He tells you exactly how it is. And when he tells you, look, when we set a price up, it's a firm price. We're not going to change on you. This is the set price no matter what we have to go through because we understand how to be efficient. And if we screw something up, then we're paying for it. We're not going to charge you for anything that happens that we screw up. And that is just really who he is and who his business is. They are so good at the very initial consultation with you of laying out exactly how everything works, how long it's going to take, what the costs are going to entail. They will draw designing through a digital means of what your backyard is going to look like, what your outdoor living space or your outdoor kitchen or your freestanding patio or your sunroom is going to look like. And it is amazing. When you see it, it's like a rendering that is a real picture of what it is. It's amazing. And then when they build it, it looks exactly like that. This is a chance for you with the summer coming up to turn your house into a home with a brand new patio from Texas Custom Patios. They'll build it and blend it into your home to where it looks exactly like it was built that way. And the work that they do is top quality. Everybody who comes to my house is astonished at how good the craftsmanship is. It can be yours too. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and take a look at their before and afters and get a sense of what they can do for your home. No matter what you think, they can put touches on it that will blow people away and blow you away. TexasCustomPatios.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Oh, he hung up. He wanted to talk about astronauts. That's a shame. I couldn't get his name there. It was a weird name. But now everybody wants to talk about Izzo. And 713-780-3776. Jacob would be next here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Jacob?
Yeah, what you saw with Izzo was a coach that actually cared, not only about the kid, but about the team. And if you've never had a coach get into your face, you probably never played sports anyways. So your opinion's pretty much irrelevant. You saw a coach that actually cared about his team, and not only that, but cared about the kid because he knew the kid could give better effort.
Well, Tom Izzo's got a great reputation.
Listen,
that's one of the things that's strange about this is this isn't Bobby Knight, who was a card carrying a hole, and I did not.
I would have sent. We had this talk a long time ago.
I
would have sent my kid to play for Bobby Knight.
I thought Bobby Knight was abusive. Was not trying to coach you and make you better. I think Bobby just would lose control of his temper a regular basis. Tom Izzo, he flipped because somebody's like, you got to understand now, these coaches are now dealing with kids who don't care about anything you say. And then if you come back at them, it's like, why are you being disrespectful to me?
Well, I don't know that about this kid. I think this kid...
I'm saying in general,
yeah, no,
that's
right.
How players have become.
No, right. I mean, I don't... Listen, if you haven't been... You're right. You haven't been coached hard, then it's not back in the day, but listen, Lance and I were talking about this during the break. We're worried about hurting feelings as opposed to making better people. This kid is going to learn from that, hopefully, that you know, and especially in a heated situation when pressure is on, you know what? You don't come back at authority, because in real life, if you're in a pressure situation at your job, you come back at your boss. Guess what your boss is going to do? Beat it. We don't need you here. I don't need your grief. You are not the boss around
this
here.
This is a classic case of everyone having to jump in and like, whoa, guys, you're hurting. Who is the player's name?
I don't know. Freshman.
You're hurting Kevin. He's hurting Kevin. You know what?
Largest gunshot.
Here's the real deal. That's a coach and a player. They'll talk about it. That's not going to be any problem.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. They don't need you. Yeah. They don't need you to jump in. Society has got to stop jumping in on everything via their commentary and social media. You can have opinions. And Lindsay, and I'm not talking about you not having an opinion. Well, I'm glad you called the show, and I welcome it. I don't agree with you, but I'm glad you called the show, and we're talking about this. Because I honestly, this desire that you have to jump in and help all at poor these poor athletes just don't. We've got to help them and
no,
that's a kid. No,
there
who's,
are
okay.
there are instances. The Rutgers coach that was throwing basketballs at his players.
Absolutely, I mean, no one is talking about
listen,
that stuff. Is
that
good.
That has got to end. You can't. This is a different world, you know. And I'm joking about it. The paddle. Yeah, I guess you can't have the paddle anymore. I get it. That Rutgers coach was...
No, he was the worst.
He was out of control.
That guy was the worst.
Tom Izzo's not that guy. Tom Izzo is not... Tom Izzo is a respected, unbelievable, maybe the best college coach with what he's had. I mean, he's a top three. I mean, it's probably Coach K, number one.
But Coach K was coached by... You know, Coach K can be a little bit of an a-hole,
Army.
Too. He was a Knight disciple.
Yeah.
He's a Bobby Knight disciple. Right. He's got a little.
He coaches them hard. But Tom Izzo is a top three coach of our era of this era. I don't think there's any question with the national with his Final Fours.
But my point is, it's probably okay between coach and player.
Yeah,
it doesn't really need. They don't need you to step up. Listen, America, players don't need you to step in for them every step of the way.
Twitter's got to stay.
Yeah, and Tom Izzo has a reputation, like not necessarily a bad one, of Coach Hart. Some players just will decide. I ain't looking for that. They'll go play someplace else. Michigan State generally has the reputation of a hard-nosed personality. Their players do, so they go, I'll go play there. That player probably had options and went, I like his. I'll go play for him.
And they'll probably squashed it anyway. It's probably nothing
probably
after the game's
over. It's probably happened in practice a lot of times.
Yeah, and look, this is why people have to stop trying to butt their nose in on every little thing. This is something that is handled between player and coach. When you listen to these guys at the Hall of Fame speeches in the NFL talk about their high school coach or guys who coached them hard or helped shape them as men, because sometimes the hard coaching stuff is father figure stuff too, and it's not even about – it's about accountability or it's about work ethic or it's life lesson type stuff too. That's part of being a good coach, especially at lower levels really, at high school, junior high, and even college. It's more about things that will affect you later in your life. It really is. Because sports is a metaphor for life. A lot of what you have to get through is it's adversity. You overcome adversity. There's a lot of great lessons that can be learned from sports at all levels. But the point that I wanted to make about Tom Izzo is, and you're right, Del, and that's the thing. When you go to Alabama to play for Nick Saban, you go in eyes wide open.
Yep.
There's no – you. Now, the reputation's out there, but you know exactly what you're stepping into. And guess who he recruits? Dogs. Nick Saban recruits dogs who are going to be okay being coached hard. And if you're not, you will transfer out, and he'll want you out of there.
I don't know there's a big difference, but some players don't like it. You know, there's an option. You can go to Clemson. Clemson seems like a different place to
go
play.
Go where a coach is going to hug you.
You can win there, too.
Right.
It just depends on who you want to be coached by.
Absolutely. Yep. And you know, if you play for Mac Brown, it was going to be sunshine and roses. And, that's okay.
Tom
and your
Izzo
family's
have
great and everything's
that,
great.
Does Tom Izzo have that rep? Or did this kid just ignite Tom Izzo because he didn't hustle back defensively.
They had a moment on the court.
That's all.
That's what it was.
That's all.
It's really not the end of the world. Guess who else coaches hard, by the way? Yeah, boy, Jimbo Fisher is a hard coach to do, too.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely does. Let's get Caesar in here. Hey, Caesar.
Hey, guys. First time, long time, double rides.
Hey, welcome, thanks, Caesar.
Welcome back, man.
I wanted to comment on, Lindsay, and he was saying something about getting in people's kitchens, and then he didn't have a problem with that, and then, but he was okay, with that, and then, but he didn't have a problem with people stepping up to him or fucking up. So how do you propose, how do you get to somebody's kitchen without stepping up to them? That's what I don't understand. I have a 9-year-old son. I'm in my 40s. I grew up in the age where in school they were, you were allowed to use a paddle. And I didn't get, my parents didn't give permission because my dad wanted to have, if he had to use the paddle, if they had to use the paddle at school, it was going to be much worse. So, my son plays competitive basketball right now. And, after the other little kids, after they score, they do all kinds of moves and stuff, even though they're down by 20. They'll do a little celebration. And he tried to do that one time, and I just explained to him that, hey, celebrating and things of that nature, just give the ball back to the official and move forward, man. I mean, it's okay to have fun. I'm not saying don't cheer, but, I mean, jumping up and down, and you're down 20, why are you gloating? And I think, just going back to what Lance was saying earlier about kids, that nowadays there's really no discipline. So, I just think that, getting into a kid's face, as long as it's not physical, and as long as it's not disrespectful, using profanity, then I think it's all right.
Yep. Appreciate it,
Caesar.
There's crossing the line, and you don't have to be physical to cross the line.
No,
there's crossing the line where you start to. I had a coach tell me, as long as you are talking about the kid's play and his effort or lack of effort or whatever, you don't start talking about you are this, you are that, and you talk about their. He goes, when you start making it personal. If your commentary is personal, then you as a coach are not doing your job. If you're talking about performance, he goes, that's our job is to talk about performance, not personal. And if it's going to be personal, it needs to be a sit down in the office conversation, not in the heat of battle. Like you're a lazy. He said, you have those conversations in a private setting, quietly, where it's not in the game. In the heat of in the heat of the game. He said, you got to talk about their performance.
Oh, well, yeah. But back in the day, coaches would talk about your...
How many face masks did you have grabbed?
Oh, me? A bunch? I mean, they would talk about your...
Well, he's undisciplined. You know the deal.
They would talk about what kind of genitalia you had. They would talk about...
What?
They would talk about...
What kind...
Your... Yeah.
Yeah.
You...
Oh, if you had female genitalia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know how many times John got called that word?
I thought you were going to say he said something like, let me get a look at that thing. Like, John, that was not okay.
Not me, but
you heard it. That was not okay, John.
But you heard it. Well, and I told you, we had a coach that carried a bat around and would give you a shot.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Why don't you talk about Craig DeServe? Because he's not carrying a bat around.
No, he's not. Well, but he will batter prices. Hang on.
What?
Are we sure I'm talking about it again? Okay, I am again.
Mm-hmm.
Well... I know just a while ago I told you that, but just in case you weren't listening, I want to make sure that I drill this home. It's truck month. 0% financing, 72 months. Now, what is that for? That's for the Chevy Silverado, the crew cab, the SLT. The SLT, in case you didn't know, is like the most tricked out that you're going to get. But don't sleep on the GMC Sierra pickup truck. I'm not a pickup guy. I haven't been typically, but I drove a GMC Sierra pickup truck for about 6 months, and I couldn't believe how those vehicles handle. Now I know why you guys who are pickup trucks, it's not like the old school pickup trucks at all. I mean, these are rigs. They are nice and they handle great. And of course they have all the, the carrying space and the cargo space that you're looking for. But the other thing that is really big, and I drive a crossover vehicle right now. I've driven an SUV. I love the Yukon and I love the Chevy Suburban. The crossovers are ruling the entire roadways right now. Whether it's the Chevy Traverse, which is what I drive, the Buick Enclave, which is maybe the smoothest ride that you have ever been in a crossover, or the GMC Acadia, you are going to take advantage of the space of the SUV, but the way the vehicle handles is more like a car, and the gas mileage is even better as well. And it's going to cost you less as well. So if you are going to make the move either up or down to that crossover vehicle, make sure you do it at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, where you have Chevy and Buick and GMC to choose from, with all the selection of all the different vehicles right there in Angleton, LanceZCars.com.
This is how we do. We make a move. This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You sent me a DM saying, I'm going to be at Minute Maid Park next weekend. I'm going to throw the first pitch on, I don't know if it was Saturday.
No, it was a Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday. Every day for a baseball player is the same.
That's actually
play
true.
Every single day. So it was a Wednesday, and I was anticipating her to be there already.
I don't remember doing that. Look at me.
I actually thought about catching the first pitch, which I never do because I gotta go to the line and stretch and get ready for the game. And I was like, it's gonna be too obvious. Like, if I tell the Astros
that he won't smile.
Yeah, if I tell the Astros that I wanna catch the first pitch on that particular game, there will be something fishy, you know? So I decided to just go stretch. And my teammate, Chris Devinsky, was the one that caught it. I remember.
Technically, he didn't catch it.
Yeah, he didn't catch it because it was so bad. And I
Why?
If you aren't aware, that's Daniela and Carlos Correa talking about how they first met. She slid into his DMs.
No, but she said he didn't.
She said
no. Oh, because she didn't want to look home.
In the video, she said she told Carlos, hey, I'm going to be at the game throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah.
And he's just like, cool.
And he said, you know what? I thought about catching that first pitch, but that would have been too obvious. Hmm. So that's how their love began.
I can't watch it. It's like the Michael Jackson. Have you seen it yet?
Are you I've saying taped it's like it. Finding I can't Neverland? Watch
that. Yeah, how is that?
No, but I just things that are cringeworthy, I just can't. I just can't watch. I have a hard time like watching the British Office because you know that David Brent is doing something that you're just like, "Oh god, so don't do that. Don't do that."
That was the most. Larry David's up there too, but David Brent,
yeah,
Michael Scott's character in the original version. Ugh. Michael Scott was like that too.
It just makes it. Steve Carell did a great job.
Brent was just like, oh my god. And Extras is like that too. Yeah. In Extras, and then and also Life is Too Short with Warwick Davis. Everything that he does. Yeah. I'm watching a new one on Netflix. He's just an edgier Ricky Gervais now. Right. His wife has died, and it's called Afterlife. Oh. But
wait, okay, I got a question before we move on, because everybody wants to talk about this subject. But Justin Houston to the Colts. What do you think?
So they got a 2-year deal on Justin Houston.
They were bad at rushing the quarterback.
So it's for one year if they don't like it. Supposedly Justin Houston's really pissed he got cut. He's hyper motivated. I think it's great for the Colts.
I do too. I think that's bad for the Texans.
Yeah, I don't like it for the Texans. And right now we're at the point where the Texans really need to go. We're in wave 3, and they really need to contact Donald Penn and get somebody at left tackle so that when they go into the draft, they don't have to go with my mock draft pick, which is Greg Little. I went with Greg Little from Ole Miss. This is the second mock in a row I've done this, and I don't think that's a good pick. And I even explained, I don't think that's where he should be slotted. But he's one of only three true left tackles, and they are so desperate for left tackle. And this is what happens. When you're desperate, you might end up reaching. And I would rather them just draft the best tackle. If it's somebody else, or even the best cornerback. If there's Greedy Williams on the board, what if he gets there? You really have to draft a tackle? I mean, draft the best player. At least Donald Penn on a 1-year deal, even if he's not very good, he's probably better than Julian Davenport. At least it allows you to be a little bit open with the first pick of your draft. I'm not saying Donald Penn's the answer at all, but at least he spackles a close.
When you're in a corner, you do reach, and it just more often than
exacerbates
not
exacerbates the problem.
It spells. It's like if you get a girl pregnant and you have to marry her, how long is that going to last?
Oh boy,
you know, 4 years.
I had
tops.
Never thought of that being like that.
But that's how it is, and then you have to move on. I mean, and if you're backed into a corner because you don't have any tackles, you can't draft for need like that, especially a desperate situation. You're right. If there's a good corner there, you got to take him. Mm-hmm. And then you just second round. We got to go because Little is probably a second rounder, right? In your eyes,
I think he's an early second who could get pushed into first, but he had a bad combine, a really bad combine. But I just don't care because I watched the tape and I know he's athletic enough to play left tackle. But that combine makes him a second round pick probably. Mm-hmm. But the Texans are probably going to have to look at reaching on him or trading back and still grabbing him because they're in desperation mode. At least if you added Donald Penn, he's not the answer. But at least maybe you can just say, look, it's not what we want. But if we have a really good player there, we don't have to pass on him because we're desperate at tackle. Maybe we can have a little bit more versatility. That's what the Colts did. They got Justin Houston, and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Then maybe we get rusher, maybe we don't get rusher here.
Boy, it would have been – yeah, well, I don't know.
How was Justin Houston still
Whitney
there?
Drop Whitney Merciless and then sign Justin Houston. Something, anything.
Yeah.
I know they got Boddy Calhoun, and then now everybody's in the Bahamas, obviously, because it just seems like they've taken the whole offseason off to me. I don't know. Everybody just must be having a really good time this offseason.
Yeah, Wyatt was
because they really haven't done a flipping thing.
Justin Houston could have been a Texan.
Yeah.
In place of Whitney Merciless.
In place of
he really could have.
What? How about thinking, I don't know. I don't know. How about doing something? Just, I don't know anything. I know you got Boddy Calhoun. Let's all take a break. Darren Fells. Woohoo! Go. We're it. Now let's go. Wish the season was here tomorrow.
Well, Fells is the kind of guy that you have to get to
tie
up your roster.
You got a guy you needed, so that's over. That's all. That's enough. Done. What? You want a break?
No, we still got 2 minutes. Let's get one of these guys who've been holding.
Oh, yeah, because we got the mini-series live spot that we have to do.
John wants to talk.
You're disrespecting the clock.
No, I'm not disrespecting. We were number one. We're 43.
We were number one because we stay on the clock.
All right, you're wasting time.
No,
hurry, John.
Yeah. All right, take a break. That's it. I'm done.
Why'd you let the bad guys win?
Because he knows I'm right.
Why'd you let the bad guys win?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, Prime Social is giving away a Jeep from Chastain. This is the Chastain down in, where is it? Down there, way down there. And they got
it's
the
Alvin?
Jeep. In Alvin.
Yeah.
This is the Chastain down there. The Chastains, I know the Chastains. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And they said, you know what? Yeah, we'll do this with Prime Social. All you have to do is play in the cash games. And every 10 hours that you play this month, so you got plenty of time to go. Hey, our boy Thomas, he builds up every 10 hours. He builds up ping pong balls. It's not just one 10 hour. Every 10 hours that you play, you get another ping pong ball in the hopper. And now you got a shot. Then you're in the lottery. They're going to play one table. Okay. If they pull your ping pong ball, you're at the final table. It's going to be on the internet. They've got where you can see the cards. It'll be delayed. It's going to be awesome. And the winner of that final table wins that Jeep. How about that? Also, if you play in tournaments, and at all the money that you win, for every dollar you win, you get a point. And at the end of the month, they're going to give cash away to those people that are at the top of the leaderboard. It is awesome. Prime Social is the only place to go. You can go there. Other places are so proud when they've got a table or two going. Hey, we got a table going. They've got 15 tables, 20 tables going.
They had four at 6:30 in the morning last Friday, four different cash games going on. And right now, it's 24 hours. So no matter when you get your itch to play poker, they've got a cash game going for you. A noon tournament today. You've got 10,000 every single week on Friday starting next week because every time we're in there broadcasting on Friday, which is only going to be every week, it's a $10,000 guaranteed pot. And we'll go higher the more people sign up. So make sure you go to Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer between Dunvale and Voss.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All right, we got guys that are still waiting to get in here. 713-780-3776. They want to talk about this Tom Izzo thing. John wants to get in here. Hey, John.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Izzo, but every point's pretty much been hit on. So I'll just say this. Lindsay, you have a girl's name, and you're an idiot. And y'all have a good weekend.
That is not... Lindsay, John is a... John shouldn't talk like that, okay?
No.
We don't call people's name. See, that's where people start to bow up. We're getting personal and calling people names instead of trying to have a discourse.
Yeah, you should. John,
a rational
you can
discourse.
Go point for point and argue or disagree with what Lindsay has said. Calling him an idiot is not productive. Like, if Tom Izzo had called that freshman an idiot, we'd be probably having a different well, maybe not you guys. Some of us would be having a different conversation. Why you call the kid an idiot? Just correct his behavior. John, you're clearly
the
problem.
Why do we need to know what's said between player and coach all the time?
I'm clearly making a joke.
No, I know, but it seems like we always want to know how the sausage is made now, and then we get upset when we find out. You know what you don't want to know? You don't want to know what's said in NFL locker rooms, and guess what? It's not your business anyway.
Right.
It's really not. And I know people think, actually it is. Actually it is.
No,
it's not.
Because
you don't need to know.
No, because there's one Jonathan Martin, right? Martin?
Yeah.
There's one Jonathan Martin as opposed to the thousands and thousands of guys who have played in the NFL and gotten tougher and harder and tougher skin because their teammates, you know, that's just the way that a locker room is. But now listen,
not all locker
bullying
rooms are
isn't
like
right.
That one. I heard Jim Turner was not good in there.
There have been plenty of locker rooms with a-holes in it,
guys who
get on other guys who they think are soft.
Well, it's not.
That's what happens.
But this is the thing. No, it's not perfect. But guess what? You can't stop trying to fix everything all
but
the time.
But there is. But it's like you said before. It's we're pandering to the now. Is it right? No. The bullying, there shouldn't be bullying. And you know what? That stuff hopefully works itself out. Isn't he being sued right now, Jonathan Martin, because of the threats that he was making?
All against the school and others.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan had long-lasting.
Yes.
That really screwed him up. It really screwed him up. And I think Richie Incognito was a bad bully. Which Pouncey was it?
Mike Pouncey.
It's Mike Pouncey and not Maurice. I was like, there's not a Maurice Pouncey. Mike Pouncey. I think that was a really toxic situation. But
yes.
You don't change, like, you can't always take a situation or the lowest level of a situation or the smallest percentage and say, well, we need to change everything. We need to change absolutely everything. The ideal, and I'm sorry, but this ideal that everything, you just, if you don't like something, if you want to just tear down the patriarchy, we'll just call everything toxic masculinity. I understand where it's coming from, but then that's the same mindset where you can say, let's put hard coaching in there too.
Yeah.
We don't need our young men to learn that you coach hard. Like, what? We don't need our young men to learn that you can be challenged, that you can be verbally challenged to get better, or you can be upset and said, I swear to God, my dad is a Marine and offensive line coach. That's a salty combination. And he's even apologized saying, you know what, when I was, you know, cranky about this or that, and it's like he didn't beat us or anything like that, but my dad would get into us pretty good. I swear to God, I'm fine. I swear to God. And when I get into my kids, I go apologize. You know, when I'm in the wrong, I say I'm in the wrong. So you know what, I shouldn't have got mad at you. I need to show my, and I explain to my kids that. But it's really okay. It's really okay for us to teach our young women and especially our young men. It's okay for you to be told the right way to do things, to learn discipline and all that stuff. It really is. You're not going to get that message now publicly because for whatever reason, we have to just say, well, that's toxic masculinity. No.
Well,
toxic masculinity would be the stuff that's the really, really negative. And I think our opinions of what it is, we'd probably disagree on what's really, really bad.
Well, do you use Gillette or Schick? That's what I want to know.
Lance,
then
is,
I'll know what kind of toxic.
I don't even.
He's
remember.
Evolved into a chick man. Yeah. Appears. Some people might have thought he was a Gillette man. He's clearly a
chick
man.
I don't know.
Man.
He's true.
No, I just believe in. And see, he's got his poking stick out again.
Listen,
you couldn't hold your little laugh.
It's gone to a new
level.
You are
the worst person.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
It has gone to a new level, though. If you closely watch commercials, there is a commercial for Under Armour, or not Under Armour, Armorall. Armorall to clean your dashboard. The girl is sitting in the driver's seat. The guy is sitting in the passenger seat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She opens up, and you can open up from the bottom, and there's wipes, and then you spray, and so it's one. She starts, and then she has to give it to the guy because they couldn't have the guy sitting in the driver's seat handing it to her to clean the car. That is unacceptable. Did you see Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union's commercial?
No.
Okay, they're for G-Zero. It's the Gatorade Zero.
Yeah.
She at first, she's losing to Dwayne Wade, but then if she drinks Gatorade Zero, she beats Dwayne Wade in cycling and running and everything else. In what world are we going to live where Gabrielle Union is in better shape than Dwayne Wade right now?
It is a commercial.
In the world where we're trying to sell some Gatorade Zero.
No,
so
but we
awesome.
Have to make and the actually, male subservient. It's, I'm telling you, because if it was the other way around, they would get lit up. Gatorade would get lit up,
you know,
because a man is dominating a woman.
I wouldn't have even noticed because I guess I don't think that way. But as far as the commercial is concerned, we know Gatorade is telling us, yes, Dwayne Wade is a world-class athlete, but if you drink our drink, much like you talk, some of the stuff we talk about here, but if you drink our drink, you can beat him.
But John was right, though, about the Armorall. That's an intentional.
You can't.
Yeah.
The guy cannot hand it to the girl to clean the car.
It's the exact same reason that I am constantly harassed about NFL comps.
Right.
About saying, and I finally did it. I had a text. So I get some producers reach out to me in advance before I come and say, hey, on the show, we're going to do comps, player comps. Who's your player comp for these guys? Two guys. What about for Dwayne Haskins? I said, I got Drew Bledsoe. I said, I think he's actually more Jameis Winston, but I know that's not going to fly. He goes, why not? He goes, why not? And I said, I've already gotten pushback. I've got Drew Bledsoe as my comp, and that's, you know, I know that that's. He goes, no, you should have your comp. He goes, why do you think that? And I told him why. I said, well, you know, body type, arm talent, football IQ. I said, the difference is Jameis takes a ton of chances. He's a habitual line crosser. So that's the one area they're not the same. He goes, yeah, but there's like four areas where you make a case that they are the same. I said, I know, but I was already told not to use Jameis. He goes, well, okay, on this show, he goes, me and the executive producer, we got your back. Use it. And I started realizing, you know, actually, I'll take less crap for doing it on NFL Network than I will on Twitter. Because Twitter people get to jump in and show how I'm going to protect you, Dwayne.
Right.
I'm going to protect you from Lance giving you a comp of a guy that you're similar to. And then we'll say that your comp should be Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, a Hall of Famer. I'm not ready to put Dwayne Haskins on a Hall of Fame comp
Dwayne Haskins
at this particular
like,
time.
Could you
well,
stop?
But I think it's style of play. If he was a Ben Roethlisberger style of play guy, I don't think you're comparing.
Extender. Yeah. No, he's not a play extender like Ben. Ben's one of the all-time great play extenders.
If I'm Dwayne Haskins, I'm like, could you please compare me to someone who doesn't have the things those two have in their backgrounds?
Right.
Yeah, and that's a problem with
what
player
about
comps.
What about Dwayne Haskins' sexual appetite?
Well,
how's that?
And that's the problem with player comps is people go, Jameis sucks. You're saying he sucks and has all these interceptions. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get as many checks in the same department as I can. There's not a whole lot of, like, guys don't really look like Haskins. There's not a lot of quarterbacks who have Haskins size.
He's got to look like him?
He's 250.
Okay, Lance.
Dude, Dwayne Haskins plays at 250.
Maybe.
How many 250 quarterbacks
do you have? White
apparently
toxic
all
masculinity
of us, all
is the
of
reason
us with dark meat
there are not
the
enough quarterbacks who look like Dwayne because of the white toxic masculinity.
But I love to see the scrambling Twitter who goes, Who should I compare?
All of us with dark meat look the
who
same.
Who should I compare Dwayne Haskins to? And they're like,
you should say Logan Thomas and say he should play tight end.
How about
that's what I said.
Who should I said? No, I'm not doing that. I said, who should I compare Dwayne Haskins to? And then you see the, especially it's white guy Twitter who's like super woke and they have hashtags to show you, and they're like, I would compare him to.
Oh,
Carson Palmer or maybe even John Elway or Dan Marino. Like,
well, I could see Carson Palmer.
Guys. Carson Palmer was...
I could see that.
So Bucky Brooks had Carson Palmer. I thought, that's not bad.
That's good.
That's actually not bad. No. My Drew Bledsoe one, I got that from Daniel Jeremiah, because these guys already are experts. That yeah, right. I've already got white guy comps on. Don't worry. I'm pull up white guy comps. And I'm like, yeah, but what do I do with a white Hunter Renfrow? And they're like, you can't do anything with Hunter Renfrow.
Ultimate Twitter.
I know it's Devon Best is my go-to.
I go Devon Best. Without the crazy. Ultimate Twitter will at some point go, why are we even comparing guys to other guys? He's his own man.
So
that's what that's going
to
come.
Trust me, and I will retweet that 100 times. In a world where I don't have to do comps anymore, it would be great because it actually takes up a bunch of my time.
I don't want
to
live in that world because I like when you get destroyed for that.
I had one guy tell me, do not collect go, do not cash your check, do not do anything, just leave NFL forever, you dumbass.
I'm happy.
Because I gave him the giant, I gave him Haskins at 6.
I'm happy with all the work Lance allegedly does. I mean, he has to add, I can't compare one black quarterback to another because I'm afraid of what happens. I'm glad that's part of his process.
That's right.
Oh, no. I have now been told.
No, you can't.
You cannot do that.
858. More on the... Raheel joins us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.